If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
If you're a custodial supervisor at a local high school, you know that cleanliness is key and that the best place to get cleaning supplies is from Grainger. Grainger helps you stay fully stocked on the products you trust, from paper towels and disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Plus, you can rely on Grainger for easy reordering, so you never run out of what you need. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Welcome to Bollywood for Lovers, part of the Alberta Podcast Network, locally grown, community supported. I'm Aaron Fraser.
And I'm Matt Bowes. It's back to school time and we're hitting the books with two movies about the right to education.
First up, Amir Khan plays an inspiring art teacher who notices that a child in his class is struggling because he has a reading disorder in Khan's directorial debut, Tare Zameen Par.
Then, to appease his wife, Irfan Khan goes to great lengths to see his daughter's acceptance at a prestigious English medium school in Sakha Chowdhury's 2017 comedy, Hindi Medium.
Before we begin, we would like to respectfully acknowledge that we record this podcast on Treaty 6 territory, home to First Nations and Métis people.
So we got a bit of a somber note to start this episode off. As I'm sure you're aware, there's been some absolutely catastrophic flooding in Pakistan over the past couple of weeks. It's something like an entire third of the country is underwater, which for it's got like the fifth highest population of any country. It's astounding. And people definitely need help. I saw, again, somewhere else that most of the country's livestock has died. Or been washed away. So it's an absolute nightmare. So we're going to be donating the revenue of four episodes from our advertising to a charity called Pani, which they are cooking meals and bringing them to people and also getting water trucks out there. So for people, for refugees, really climate refugees who've been forced out of their homes, this organization is feeding them and getting them water and stuff. So we thought that this would be a good one to go through. But this is also through launchgood.com, which is a Muslim-focused donation site. So if you go to launchgood.com, you could see quite a few different organizations that have been set up and are on the ground helping. And another good resource for this, and I'll have to thank Awesome Bernie from the Condon podcast, he put this up, is floods.pk. So this has information about the flooding, as well as charities in Pakistan, as well as U.S. and abroad. So depending on where you're listening from, you can find a charity that can take your local currency and can maybe give you a tax credit or something. But we please encourage you to donate somehow, because this is a massive humanitarian crisis, and they need our help right now.
Links will be in the show notes, and we encourage, if you are in a position to donate, to help, and also to encourage others to donate.
This is why we have those ads in the middle of the episode, in the beginning. Like,
it allows us to do stuff like this.
Yeah, we do use that money. It's not that we want to tell you about Home Depot or whatever. It's, it's kind of used for, you know, keeping the podcast going and also for things like this. So yeah, we can kind of help out when we can. So please help.
Before we get to the films, we have something else we need to discuss. It's not as somber, not as immediately important. But it's still news nonetheless to us. Now the 67th Filmfare Awards honoring the best films of 2021 were handed out recently. I don't know why the Filmfare Awards felt the need to hand out awards when the Biffle Awards were.
We've already covered this pretty well.
Yeah, they already had a lavish ceremony and honored all the best films. So, I mean, Filmfare Awards late to the party.
Yeah.
We'll see if their picks align with ours.
Sure.
Now, what do you want to hear about first, Matt? Do you want to start with like the best film, or do you want to work backwards up to best film?
Let's work up to it.
Okay. So we will start with best supporting actor.
Okay.
The nominees were Abhishek Banerjee in Rashmi Rocket, a film we didn't watch. Yeah. Manav Kaul in Saina.
No.
He was the coach. Pankaj Tripathi in 83. Pankaj Tripathi in Mimi.
Pankaj Tripathi in Our House.
Oh my God.
Wow.
That'd be a dream come true.
He's everywhere.
Paran Bandhopadhyay. Apologies if I'm sure that's not the correct pronunciation, and
sorry,
I apologize for that.
Sorry, pardon.
In Bob Biswas. And Raj Arjun in Thalaivi. So we didn't see two of these films, and one of them you didn't see, but I saw. So,
and one of them I saw, you didn't see.
Oh yeah, Bob, I fell asleep during Bob Biswas. That's true. So of this, who do you think won? Do they deserve to win?
Wow, this is a real.
I'm gonna say
champions. I mean,
more so than in other years, there are some nominated films that I did kind of go, oh, I didn't know about that. And I already thought that, like, the films we discussed in our wrap-up episodes, like, that a lot of people didn't watch those. So, like, I think just 2021, it's, like, again, it was a mixed bag. And so it's interesting to, like, look at the awards, because there's even stuff that kind of didn't even make our radar.
I think I would have given it to the cop, the white guy in Sardar Udham.
Oh, okay.
He was great.
Yeah.
But based on this assemblage, I'm going to say Pankaj Tripathi in 83.
It was Pankaj Tripathi and Mimi.
Oh, Mimi. Okay, yeah. Well, I didn't see Mimi, but you were pretty fond of it.
You know, I didn't like the film per se, but I liked the performances.
Okay.
And he is very good. And I do think that in Mimi, it's a more interesting performance than in 83.
Yeah, in 83, he's kind of the comic relief. But yeah, he does that really well.
But you can't disagree with Pankaj Tripathi is the best supporting actor.
You said we can't disagree with Filmfare, and I was thinking I can.
Oh, yeah, no, we can. Okay, best supporting actress. Kirti Kulhari in The Girl on the Train.
Wow.
Why?
Amazing pick.
This is a film that I feel like we're going to, this next nomination, this is a film I think we're going to have to catch up with, because it was not on my radar, and it seems to have received a lot of love from the Filmfare Awards.
Is it The Great Indian Kitchen?
No, because that's not a Hindi film.
Right, but it was probably dubbed. Are dubs available for
awards? I don't think so. I would like to see The Great Indian Kitchen. Anyways, so Kirti Kulhari and The Girl on the Train.
No.
Just like,
no.
Yeah. Kankana Sen Sharma in Ram Prasad Ki Tevri. Have you heard of this?
No, but I always like Kankana Sen Sharma. She's fantastic, so she's currently my front runner.
Yeah, it appears to have released originally at festivals in 2019. Nazirudin Shah, Vikrant Massey, like,
wow,
this sounds great. I feel like we need to catch up with this at some point. Directed by Seema Pawa. Yeah, I would like to see this.
Move along.
Yes, moving along. Meghna Malik and Saina. Nina Gupta.
Lots more nominations for Saina than I thought there would be.
Yeah.
Is she the mom who gets... Has something happened to her, I'm guessing?
She plays Usha Rani Nawal. So, you know, I don't remember the names of the characters in Saina.
Probably. The mom was a big character.
And then Nina Gupta in Sandeep or Pinky Farrar. And then Sai Tamhankar in Mimi. It's nice to see some love for Sandeep or Pinky Farrar, right?
Yeah, my gut instinct is Sandeep or Pinky Farrar, but I'm guessing it's probably Mimi again.
It is Mimi again! Yes, Sai Tamhankar, who played, I believe, Mimi's friend, who kind of helps her out. Another great performance. Like, I also would have been happy to see it go to Nina Gupta. I haven't seen this Kankana Sancharma performance, but she's always good. But
yeah, Kankana Sancharma is never bad.
Yeah,
apart from Wake Up Sid, where she doesn't get a lot to do.
Yeah, but I will say this performance from Saitam Hankar, like, again, that's the one, like, I think the performances in Mimi are great.
Sure.
Yeah. All right. Best actor.
I know this one.
You know this one? Well, okay. Well, we'll still have some fun.
It's Ranveer Singh, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. But he was up against Dhanush in Atrangri Ray, which, I mean, he was great.
Yeah, I liked him a lot, actually.
Siddharth Malhotra in Shersha.
Sure, he was fine.
Yeah. He was pretty good.
He's not playing a very complex person.
Yeah, I get the sense that a lot of people love that movie a lot more than I do, and that's okay.
It's very patriotic.
And then Vicky Kaushal in Sodardom.
Yeah, it should have gone to Vicky Kaushal.
Yeah, I think so.
This is Ranveer winning for 83, right?
Yeah.
He was really good.
He's good, but I think
But Vicky Kaushal was amazing.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I'm not annoyed with Ranveer Singh winning the award, but it, you know, not who I would pick personally. I would have gone with Vicky Kaushal.
Yeah.
So, best actress, we have Kiara Advani in Shersha. I like Kiara Advani, but that's not
the... She didn't have a lot to do.
That's not the role I would necessarily nominate for her. But, you know, I'm happy to see that she's getting some love.
Mm-hmm.
Kriti Sanon in Mimi. We always love Kriti Sanon.
Okay, that's my current forerunner based on what I've seen so far.
Parineeti Chopra in Sandeep or Pinky Farrar. Not for Saina, no.
Yeah, not for Saina, but
and not for the girl on the train.
Not for the best mole award.
That's
Sandeep or Pinky Farrar. She was good.
That's definitely the best role she had in 2021. So can't agree with. I'm sorry, can't disagree with that nomination. Then Tapsee Pannu in Rashmi Rocket,
and didn't see that one.
Vidya Balan in Sherni.
Ooh, spicy. Okay. My heart says Parineeti Chopra, but I think my brain says Vidya Balan.
It's Kriti Sanon. Yeah.
Well,
I would have given it to Vidya Balan, but you know what? Vidya Balan has a bunch of film
awards. Yeah, she doesn't need any.
Kriti Sanon doesn't have any. And
they make a dirty picture too. She's going to be back in Silksmith again.
People
back on top.
I think people know that, like.
I love
Kriti Sanon, so, you know, I'm happy. So happy for her.
Hopefully she can get some more roles out of this.
Yeah, and she's posted some, you know, some fun snaps with her and her awards. She's won a number of awards for Mimi at this point. She's posted some fun snaps.
Good.
On Instagram. And again, like,
It sounds like that's, like, an actor's choice. So everyone
who votes
for these
so.
Really like that one.
Again, like, I wasn't crazy about the film itself and the places that it went, but I can't disagree that the she gave a great performance.
Mm-hmm.
Best director. So, again, the nominees are Kabir Khan for 83, Akash Khurana for Rashmi Rocket, Seema Pawa for Ram Prasad Ki Turbi, Shujit Sukar for Sardar Udham, and Vishen Vardhan for Shersha.
Gotta go Sardar Udham here.
Yeah?
Yeah. That's my choice.
My choice would also be Sardar Udham, but it went to Shersha.
Hmm.
Again, I think
it's not a bad movie.
No, it's not a bad movie, but
very patriotic.
I haven't seen Rashmi Rocket. I haven't seen Ram Prasad Ki Tevri, but I really want to now. But yeah, for me, it would have been Sardar Udham. Shersha was a good movie. I don't know, just didn't capture my attention. It was a war movie. I don't know.
Yeah.
I hate to be like.
Well, it is the sort of thing that wins awards.
Yeah.
But also a period drama about something important to Indian history also would win awards?
Yeah.
You think?
Yeah.
Like 83 or Sardar Udham?
I wonder.
There was some interesting mixing of reality and the actor world in 83.
Well, I wonder if the... if kind of some of the criticisms of historical accuracy have worked against Sardar Udham.
I hope not.
Well, finally, we have Best Film. I'm sure you can probably take a stab at what some of these nominations are. Mm-hmm. Ram Prasad Ki Tevri, Rashmi Rocket, Sardar Udham, and Shersha.
And this Rashmi Rocket got a lot of love.
Yeah, it's a sports movie.
Well, I guess
and
I'm
going
to go...
And we kind of skipped over it because there were so many sports movies.
Yeah, I guess I'm going to go Shersha here just because it's cleaning up a bunch of other awards.
It went to Shersha.
Wow.
Yeah. So
when I saw a bunch of Siddharth Malhotra fans freaking out online that he didn't win Best Actor, that kind of makes a bit more sense considering he picked up all these other awards.
Yeah. So the Critics Awards, I'll just quickly go over. Best Film went to Siddhartham.
Good.
It beat out Ramprasad Keeturvy, Sandeep or Pinky Farrar, and Sherny. Nice to see Sherny being in the conversation. Like that was great my movie. Favorite 2021 Bollywood film. Best Actor went to Vicky Kaushal.
Good.
Siddhartham. He beat out Abhishek Bachchan in Bob Biswas. Again, I fell asleep, so weird. I don't know.
Weird. Not even, okay.
Pratik Gandhi in Bye-Bye. Not aware of that one. But if it's good, let us know. Ranbir Singh in 83, and Vikrant Massey in Haseen Dil Ruba.
You know, he was pretty good. That was a very silly movie.
But. I like Vikrant Massey, but yeah, it's nice to see him get in there. That movie did nothing for me. But.
Yeah.
And Best Actress went to Vidya Balan in Sherny. She beat out Supriya Pathak for Ramprasad Keeturvy and Tapsee Pani for Haseen Dil Ruba. I guess critics really liked Haseen Dil Ruba.
Yeah, apparently. But as per usual, we're more on the side of the critics. Just in time for a new horror movie that's coming out about a serial killer who kills movie critics called Choop. So we'll have to watch that one when it comes out. But yeah, maybe Choop's in our house right now. Oh, no. But yeah, this doesn't surprise me. Usually with this award, we typically pick the same things as the critics.
And there was a bit of a controversy with Kangana Ranaut. So this is...
Wait, are you saying that Kangana Ranaut made a controversy happen?
So this is in regards to her performance in Thalevi, which now that makes sense as to why that's a film that wasn't on our radar, because the stars Kangana Ranaut. She was initially nominated for Best Actress for her performance, but they withdrew her nomination and after she made some accusations that the film for awards are corrupted and
well, I mean, you know what? if you're being accused of being corrupt, yeah, maybe that will have the award taken away from you.
So overall, Shirsha had the most nominations with 19, followed by 83 and Siddhartham, which both had 14 nominations. But Siddhartham walked away, despite not getting Best Film or Best Director, it walked away with the most awards.
So it picked up the technicals?
With 9, Shirsha 7, Mimi 3, all for those acting categories, and then 83 got 2 awards. Wow. So.
That is crazy that Mimi just cleans up all the acting.
Yeah. Maybe you should catch up at some point. It was like, again, the performances were very good.
Well, I mean, I watched the last 20 minutes, I think.
Yeah. Yeah. Huh. I don't know, though. That wasn't as fun as the Biffle Awards. I'm just saying.
No, I think our yearly tradition of the Biffle Awards has had a lot more surprises.
Yeah.
Slaps.
Yeah. Snubs.
Snubs, slaps, all kinds of things. So it's always a wild ride, the annual Biffle Awards.
Yeah.
Check them out.
I feel like it's also hard to be excited because, like, it's September.
Yeah.
Like, we're talking about movies that came out so long ago.
This time last year.
You know, and movies that, again, because...
why does it take a so lot, long?
I don't know why this took so long, because this feels very delayed. And I kept checking for when they were going to be... for when they were going to come out. Because I was curious. Mm-hmm. We watched a lot of 2021 Bollywood films, but...
No one else did.
But no one else did. So, like, again, it's kind of hard... There's some good films in there, but it's kind of hard to get excited when both, like, it was kind of a weird year, partly because of the pandemic, like, things weren't getting released into theaters as much, things were getting pushed to streaming, and there wasn't, like, a lot of, from my perspective, there wasn't kind of a lot of conversation about the films that were being released, like, Haseen Dil Ruba, Antargi Ray, like, people were talking about those movies a bit, but not much, not the way that people, like... are talking about Lal Singh Chadha, for better or worse.
Or Brahmastra.
Yeah, etc. Or Garion, right? So, and these movies just, like, they came out so long ago.
Yeah. It's hard to remember that far back.
Yeah. But, you know, congrats to all the winners and nominees, except for Kangana Ranaut, who doesn't want her nomination.
Sour grapes.
Yeah. All right, Matt, back to school. We're discussing back... It's back to school time.
Do you ever have dreams about school?
All the time.
Yeah.
Do you have more dreams about high school and like junior high and elementary school or university?
I almost never dream about university.
Oh, okay.
I would say it's more elementary to junior high.
I have a lot of dreams about university, but then also for some reason I have dreams where I'm already in university, but for some reason I have to go back to our high school. And so like I'm doing
like a Billy Madison type situation.
But I'm doing like high school classes and university classes for some reason.
What the hell, brain?
I don't know.
Get your act together.
I don't know. And a lot of it is about like what
it's
if,
not like you had one like, credit left and they won't let you into university.
No.
You have to finish
it's like I'm
gym
doing
class or something.
It's like I'm doing both. And a lot of it is about like how I'm like what if I miss the bus?
Okay, well, it's weird.
Yeah, I do have dreams.
You could have missed the bus for university too.
Yeah, I don't know. What are your dreams about school?
They're very like place based.
Mm-hmm.
So I could just remember what the halls or what my brain thinks the halls of my high school.
Oh yeah, I think I dream about like my locker in grade 12 for some odd reason. Like a lot of the dreams are there.
I don't remember where your locker was, but I remember where mine was.
Mm-hmm.
But it's very much like experiential, like place stuff, and I'm just there.
Mm-hmm.
Or kind of a Sunday scaries type thing, like, mm-hmm. Oh no, I forgot to do my homework, that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. So, I don't really remember my dreams very well, but I cannot for the life of me remember anything having to do with university since I finished university.
Like, well, that's pretty, I mean, that's pretty nice.
I don't think I was that stressed out, whereas I would have been stressed out in like all the other grades.
Interesting. So obviously we are not headed back to school.
I sure hope not.
We've been finished school for years. But this is still kind of like, I don't know, this is kind of one of my favorite times of year.
You like the youths. You like to know what they're up to.
I like the weather kind of starting to cool and that kind of transition into fall fashion, but also just this kind of it's in the air, you know, like being studious and like, and it's kind of, and it
you
also.
You don't even work near the university. I do. And I see students all over the place.
But I think there's also this feeling of like new starts and new, like a new start of a school year, new ambitions, new goals. There's just something about the fall that feels a bit like a reset. And I think it's because, you know, growing up every.
You did it for 13.
Yeah.
To 17 years, basically.
Every September. Oh, more for me.
Right.
Took me longer to finish my degree than you. You know, so every September, like, you just kind of get ready to go back to school. And there's something really...
Back to school shopping.
Yeah. There's something really, I think, comforting about that transition, whether or not you are going back to school or you have kids going back to school or not. You know, I just think it's just... It's kind of one of those just, like, traditional... post like benchmarks within the year.
I find though, as northern people, every day is just worse.
Okay.
There's less light.
Right.
And it's colder and it's rainier.
Yeah, you don't really like fall. You like spring.
I like fall better than winter, but I really hate winter. Right. So every day is just...
So fall is just a reminder that winter's on its way.
Yeah, it's just another step on the death march towards winter. So I don't like fall.
Mm-hmm.
It's just because I hate winter.
What was your favorite part of going back to school as a kid or as a student, as a university student?
As a university student, I liked buying books.
Mm-hmm.
That shouldn't surprise anybody. And I guess as a elementary, et cetera, student, I just liked seeing my friends. Or maybe not my friends, because I would have seen them during the year, like summer, but just other people I knew. Like, what's that girl like now? That kind of thing. Someone I didn't hang out with.
Do you think you know what my favorite thing about going back to school as a kid was?
You would have liked clothes.
New clothes.
Yeah.
I loved going back to school shopping for new clothes, my
favorite thing.
You
probably
have
a lot of hand-me-downs too, right?
No, not necessarily, because I have a lot of older siblings. No, not necessarily. But like every back-to-school season at the Bay, there would be like a buy six items and get eight or something. And so we would go and I'd get to pick out like new outfits at the Bay.
Are you getting all eight items here, or is this all of your family?
No, I get everything.
Oh.
And so I get to get like a bunch of new outfits, and that was always really exciting. And my favorite was always this like forest green corduroy miniskirt.
Of course.
And it had a matching corduroy vest. Mm-hmm. I think it was my very first miniskirt. And I got that
you were 10 years old.
I got that in elementary school, and that was like my favorite thing. Hmm. And I recently found a very similar adult sized green corduroy miniskirt at Simon's, and I'm very excited to wear it this fall.
So do you feel like you're 10 years old every time you put it on?
Maybe. Hmm. Like 10 or 11. But we're not here to reminisce.
About our school days.
We're here to talk about a couple of films that I think put us in the back to school mood about kids going to school.
Mm-hmm. And or trying to.
Yeah, and about the importance of education for all. And so we've picked two films that are about kids as opposed to, you know, we've talked a lot in the past about, so these films are both about children. Mm-hmm. We've talked a lot about films in the past, you know, where we're dealing with kind of
grade 11 to like, university.
Yeah, like late high school, college, and university aged students. We get a lot of those.
6 to 9 year olds in this one.
So we wanted to talk about some films about children. Mm-hmm. So our first is Tare Zamin Par, which means Stars on Earth. Came out in 2007. It's directed by Aamir Khan. It was his directorial debut, and I believe still the only film he's directed.
Which is really weird. He should do more.
He produces a lot.
Yeah, but it's odd that he's only directed one movie in 15 years.
Yeah. It stars Darshil Safari, who is about like a 8-year-old boy named Ishan. Aamir Khan, Tiska Chopra, Vipin Sharma, Tanya Cheda, and Sachet Engineer.
Vipin Sharma is kind of the only other guy that we've known. And he's been in Patala, Gangs of Wasipur. Like, pretty good resume, actually. Mm-hmm. But everyone else is fairly new to us.
And all the kids are, like, first-time actors.
Well, kids are just new in general.
Yeah.
New as in being new humans.
Writer Amol Gupte and his wife Deepa Bhatia were initially inspired by the life of Akira Kurosawa.
This is wild.
And so I assume most people know who Akira Kurosawa is, but if
you're listening to us, you probably do.
He is an iconic Japanese filmmaker who made movies like from the 50s all the way into the 80s. A lot of samurai movies, Seven Samurai, but also things like High and Low. You know, just like an incredible filmography. He's one of our favorite filmmakers, easily. And I guess that he struggled a lot in school. He was not a good student, which is like a very no-no thing in Japan.
Yeah, definitely.
But he went on to be extremely successful because he was so creative. And so Gupte and Bhatia became interested in telling a story about a child who didn't excel in school but was very creative.
And so did they have any connection to Kurosawa, or they just thought, oh, here's the story of an artist who had a difficult time in school?
I think that's where the inspiration came from. Their kind of research into why kids might have a difficult time in school kind of led them to learning more about dyslexia, which is what the film is about. Darshil Safari has dyslexia.
His character.
Yes, his character. So led them to learning more about dyslexia, and then that's kind of the route they followed. I do not believe that Akira Kurosawa was dyslexic.
Hmm. But we do find out lots of other people were.
Yes, there is a whole scene where we hear about all the many famous and successful, mostly artists, who
and
had
scientists,
dyslexia.
Yeah.
But even those scientists are like, they're arty. I guess Einstein, not so much. But
Leonardo
like,
da Vinci.
Da Vinci, yeah. So it was a big box office hit, critically acclaimed. It was India's submission to the 2009 Academy Awards for Best Foreign Film. It was not nominated. I assume many people listening to this podcast have seen this film before. It's pretty popular.
Like pretty big deal.
It won 3 National Film Awards, including the award for Best Film on Family Welfare.
Interesting. Not child welfare. Do they have to make an award like so specific?
I was nominated for 9 Filmfare Awards, and it won 5, including Best Movie, Best Director, Best Story, and Best Actor Critics for Darshil Safari. Notably, Safari was the youngest Best Actor nominee in Filmfare Award history.
I can believe it. He's like 9.
I think he was 10.
Okay, but then later, yeah.
He lost to Shah Rukh Khan in Chak Day India.
In the non-critics version. Yeah. Well, I mean, it kind of makes sense. I mean, that's one of Shah Rukh's best roles.
Yeah, really.
And at least if he gets the critics one, then they both kind of win.
Yeah. And like, I mean, that's got to be good bragging rights for the rest of your life.
Hopefully they took a picture together. Like,
oh, I'm sure.
Yeah, high five.
The film is known for raising awareness about dyslexia and has kind of been shown around the world by, there was a big screening in Seattle with 200 people of just kind of, you know, it raised a lot of awareness and potentially continues to raise a lot of awareness for dyslexia.
The subtitles for this should have been in the dyslexic font.
Maybe.
I
think you can change your subtitles.
I think you can do Comic Sans as a subtitle. I'm not sure about, like, the dyslexic font, which, if you look it up, like, kind of the lower parts of letters are fatter, and this apparently helps dyslexic people, like, kind of keep it in their heads.
Yes, and also, one of the challenges for people with dyslexia is, like, for fonts where letters kind of the same shapes repeat over in different letters. So like the B and the D being exactly backwards of one another. And so my understanding is that the dyslexic font
and Comic Sans.
And the reason that Comic Sans is often easier for people with dyslexia to read is because there's no repetition like that.
Yeah, each letter is a concrete unit.
Yes. So do you want to set up the plot for us?
Sure. So Ishan is a young kid living in a big city who is a dreamer.
Mm-hmm.
We find him kind of like looking at small fish in a puddle. He likes hanging out with the dogs in his colony.
I guess the actor was really afraid of those dogs, though.
Oh. I would be kind of afraid of, like, road dogs, street dogs. You wouldn't want to get bit by one of those. He feeds them his test results, though. But what he doesn't like is going to school. Maybe not so much going to school, so much as reading and math.
Well, and it's not even that he doesn't like...
I mean, the teachers...
It's not that he doesn't... That he dislikes learning. It's just that he has difficulty learning, and everyone is horrible to him. Like, his teachers are horrible to him.
His teachers just think he's stupid and lazy, so he's often just thrown out into the hallway where, oddly enough, he doesn't learn anything while he's out there. He just gets, you know, he just stands by himself, and then, oh, look, he didn't learn anything because he wasn't actually being taught.
And he's repeating grade 3 again.
Yeah.
And it just, like, there's a scene where one of his teachers calls on him and... Again, like, he's having difficulty following the directions and the instruction. He can't read the words on the page.
He says they're dancing.
Yeah, and everyone laughs, and the teacher just thinks he's being silly. So then, in order to get her to stop, he does just be, like, he is just silly because, like, she keeps pushing him.
Yeah, and like Amir says later on in the movie, rather than, like, admitting defeat and saying, like, I just can't do this, you deliberately get in trouble so that, like, you can kind of take control of the situation. Yeah. Well, he does. And he eventually does so bad at school, and no one understands what was happening well enough, that he gets sent to boarding school, where there doesn't appear to be any extra sort of help available. It's just stricter, and, like, capital punishment is used.
Yeah, his dad is really focused on, like,
getting successful.
Yeah, his older brother
is a real go-getter.
Yeah, is very successful, top grades, plays tennis. And the dad is really focused on his son's being able to compete in society. And so how will he be able to compete?
Yeah, and essentially he has written his son off for years now. The mother, she tries really hard, and there's a good song, which we'll do the interval, called Jame Raho, which is about getting up early, eating your breakfast really fast,
like
going
one
to work, and being basically like a quote-unquote productive member of society. And Ishan is a dreamer who likes learning about animals and imagining things in his head. And
he's very artistic. He likes drawing and painting.
Yeah, he drew all over his walls. And the song shows, like, you know, some people are dreamers. One thing I like about this movie is that this sort of dreamer persona is owned by a 9-year-old. Mm-hmm. Whereas in our, was it the last one? We went before last with Ranbir Kapoor. Mm. Ranbir Kapoor often has this sort of like, I'm a dreamer. I don't fit into society. I'm 38 years old.
Yeah.
Like it is kind of, I don't know, I hesitate to say like a childish argument, but it's definitely something you can kind of accept more in a small child in mm-hmm. that they have not been socialized, even though for him to be able to speak Hindi and some English fluently without ever having read it is kind of amazing. Like he had to, you know, infer basically everything because he can't do phonics, for example. He can't look at a word and sound it out.
We learn how to speak English without knowing how to read it.
Sure, but like he does not. He doesn't speak like a baby. Like
okay.
He speaks like about as good as all the other kids in his class, but he doesn't have the benefit of being able to read anything. You could see the opposite, where if you've read a word a lot of times, but then you're called upon to say it out loud, you don't actually know how to do it.
Right, like apartheid. That's a common one.
Yeah. That happened to you.
Yeah. I'd been, in my head, I'd been pronouncing it differently for years.
People do this all the time because people who read books, you know, they're going to encounter a ton of new words that they had never heard aloud until someone said it. And I think I just think it is kind of amazing that he's able to pull this off. He's actually very smart.
He's incredibly smart.
But his strengths do not lie with math. And with reading words on a page.
Yeah. So do you want to explain what happens when he goes to boarding school?
So he goes to boarding school and immediately becomes extremely depressed.
Yeah.
He doesn't paint paintings anymore, which was kind of his one artistic outlet that you don't need to know how to read to do.
Mm-hmm. He has one friend, a disabled boy whose dad is like...
He works there,
yeah. He's high up there.
And he said, and this kind of is a dangling sort of plot thread that doesn't go anywhere, but this kid says, like, why do you think every kid here is being punished?
Mm.
And like, okay, well, you specifically, the child of one of the people who works here, you're not being punished. But like the idea of boarding school in most people's heads is that you're a bad kid and they need to toughen you up.
Yeah. But he's contemplating suicide. Yeah. He withdraws. They
went to a really dark place.
Yeah.
And this kid is really, really good at just looking sad.
He's got like...
His huge eyes.
He has these huge eyes and then like these very big teeth that have a lot of spaces in between them. Like he's got a face.
He's got a movie face. But luckily, a new art teacher comes to town who also works at a school for people with developmental disabilities. Mm-hmm. Called the Tulip School, which I have to assume is probably a real place.
Hmm.
Played by Amir Khan. And Amir Khan eventually...
He enters with doing a big song, dressed up like a clown with like...
Well, I said he would be a magic art fairy.
Yeah,
he basically was.
You were like, oh, now Amir Khan, the magic art fairy, is going to show up. And I was like, art fairy? And then, like, you'd never seen this before, obviously. Amir Khan shows up and he has like pointy ears and this big Salvador Dali mustache. And he does this big song.
He's wearing a cloak.
And I was like, oh my God, he is an art fairy. How did you know?
This is one of my most amazing calls yet.
Yeah.
But he himself had a reading disability growing up, and his father acted the same way. And he's able to understand what's going on with Ishan.
Yeah, he's able to figure it out.
He also knows that, like, unless someone does something, like, this kid's going to kill himself.
Yeah.
He does not fit in here at all. He has no friends. At least at the old school, like, he could kind of... He was able to go back home, whereas he had a support system there. And actually, like, everyone apart from his dad still likes him, too.
Yeah.
His dad likes him, but, like, he doesn't try to learn about him. But his brother likes him.
Amir Khan can also tell that, like, he's very intelligent, he's very smart, that he's not lazy, that it's just not...
He's not stupid. He just has never had access to the knowledge contained in books.
Yeah, and... He goes to visit Ishan's family and sees kind of the artwork and the paintings he's done. And so, again, he...
And he tells the mother, who freaks out, basically, like, he doesn't paint anymore.
Yeah.
Which is, like, his only artistic outlet.
He looks at the way, like, the writing in his notebooks, and he recognizes it as kind of how he saw letters and and numbers. And so he is able to kind of take Ishan under his wing and work with him. And I believe a lot of those techniques that you see Amir Khan and Ishan working on are real techniques that they use with children with
dyslexia. Sense, like drawing letters in sand or having like a grid that you draw a letter on. That seems like a way that someone who just like picturizes letters differently, it's a way to kind of make it concrete.
And it is like, it's a reading disorder, you know, it is something that if he can work on, like, you know, he
can get strategies to do it.
Yeah. Like it's not his intelligence.
And one of the best scenes in the movie is his dad is coming to the school and he's thinking of going to see his son, and Amir Khan, the first part's a little lame, but he sits him down and basically chews him out for 20 minutes, and his dad starts kind of freaking out. And when he walks outside, he can see his son, but Ishan can't see him. And Ishan is reading words, like amphitheater. And the father's too cowardly to even face his child.
Yeah, because the issue is that no one has recognized Ishan's dyslexia. And so they keep trying to teach him the way every other kid is learning, but that's not going to work because you have to, you know, he needs different learning techniques.
Yeah.
You know, and that's what the film shows. And then the film shows, you know, like how, you know, once Amir Khan is able to take the time to teach him.
Off books though, like he's not even getting paid for this. He's working extra overtime. Yeah. Which most teachers would not be able to do. Also, there's like 40 to 60 kids in each class. Yeah. So you also kind of see why the teachers didn't have time for him.
But they also didn't need to be so cool.
No, they didn't have to be such assholes about it.
But then he starts to excel. And then he, you know, comes out of his shell. And then he, you know, takes up art again. It's a lovely movie.
The ending with the art competition is a little saccharine, but I still liked it.
Yeah.
But
Guru Dutt's sister.
Yes. And she's judging in our competition. Mm-hmm. I really like this movie, and it's one of the few movies you can think of that actually like probably did help children.
Yeah.
Because if a teacher watched this movie and noticed kids in their own class, or even the children themselves who are not articulate enough at that age to say like I have dyslexia because they don't know what it is,
right?
And they can't read the word dyslexia, like it's. It's really a shame that the word dyslexia seems super hard to read.
And I think,
like, it just the formation of the word, it seems like a really challenging word. So even if you saw it, you wouldn't be like, oh, I have dyslexia. So it's so difficult for a child to actually articulate this. And by a certain point, they're basically gone unless you help them.
Well, children also learn, you know, children with learning disorders or with neurodivergent disorders, they also learn how to mask them.
Yeah, they can kind of do workarounds.
Yeah.
Like his defaulting to class clown.
Yeah, yeah. Or, you know, they learn how to mask them, and so people don't always notice.
Yeah.
Yeah. You learn how to get by, essentially.
Well, this kind of reminded me of myself growing up, because all the other kids were taught to read using phonics.
Mm.
And since I already basically knew how to read, I found that sort of stuff really difficult, like sounding out words.
Yeah.
Because I just knew them all.
I was never good at that
like a bunch of work for no reason. So I would always do badly on these courses when I could just do it already. It felt like obviously this is not the same issue as dyslexia, but like, children have different ways that they learn how to do things, and there is no, like, you know, one-size-fits-all solution.
Yeah, I had chicken pox when we did phonics, which was not a good thing, but I already knew how to read, similarly to you. Like, I was reading before I went to school, so, yeah.
Well, I just thought those courses...
I was always bad at sounding out words,
too. Well, yeah, I just,
still bad at sounding out words.
I just didn't get the point of it. And, you know, for other students who hadn't gotten that far at home, sure, that makes sense. But, like, obviously I'm not saying that this is the same as having dyslexia. But
no.
It's just a way in which my own schooling, I had, you know, sort of something counter to the way that everything else was being taught.
Yeah, and also, like, you couldn't pick up something and people didn't understand why, and that's...
Yeah. And also, I can't tell them, like, teacher, I know every word. I don't need to do phonics. This is stupid and for babies.
For sure. I think like the joy of this film is the kids.
Yeah.
Amir Khan's working with a lot of non-professional actors, and he finds ways. Like, he clearly worked with these kids quite a bit to get them to kind of be
natural
on screen. And I think it's very successful.
Yeah.
Yeah. They're a joy to watch, even when they're kind of being mean to each other. One of the things that I think...
The kids at the boarding school, for the most part, we kind of get to know them a bit more.
Yeah.
The kids before are just dicks.
And Safari is fantastic.
Yeah.
He gives a great performance. And I think one of the things that you and I both really liked about this movie is, and it's a small thing, but the brotherly relationship.
Yeah, it's nice that his brother's not picking on him. Like,
yeah, the older brother doesn't necessarily that his younger brother has dyslexia, but he knows that his younger brother is not lazy. Like, he knows his younger brother is trying and that he is really creative, and he clearly really cares for him, you know, and that's really nice to see as opposed to like the older brother being like, I'm doing well in school.
Hey, stupid.
Why can't you? Or, you know, like feeding off of the competition.
Yeah. I mean, it kind of makes the older brother less of a character because he's like nice and he's not another shithead in this kid's life.
Yeah.
But what did you think of Amir Khan's direction? Because I thought, for someone who's been in, like, many, many movies and only made one, this is a very confident debut. And he's been in the industry for, like, 20 years at this point. So, like, he knows his way around. But I was actually pretty surprised that it was that good.
Yeah, I think he knows how to make really evocative images. I think anytime he's working with, like, that pond and the fish and the water and just kind of... There's kind of a poetry, I think, to his images throughout the film. He doesn't have, like, a really showy camera. No. So not, like, a lot of showy camera
movies.
There's
a few, like, kind of POV shots and weird angles and things.
I think what he really does is knows how when the camera needs to focus in on small details. And usually kind of mundane details that I think...
Like a puddle.
Yeah, that I think... In context of the storytelling and the way they're presented kind of seem, you know, because it is about like a child's point of view and, you know, about the importance of the everyday and just kind of, you know, this could be really mundane, but I think he just kind of adds this kind of sprinkle of magic to it all.
I bet you dollars to donuts that Amir Khan is a fan of. I think his name is Godfrey Reggio. Do you know who that is?
No.
Let me look it up. But the guy who directed Koyaan is Katsi.
Oh.
Because there's a scene where Ishan is bunking off of school. He gets his brother to write him.
That's a good one.
He get him to like write him a note saying like, my son was sick. Godfrey Reggio, yeah.
Yeah.
And basically like the way that he walks through town and just sort of appreciates like, oh, here's a guy painting a wall. I'll just watch him for a while. Or here's a bunch of people waiting for a bus. And you're getting... Ishan's interest in the world around him.
Mm-hmm. Again,
but
it's
this
like
is also done
the way he makes the mundane, but because he's taking the perspective of a child, seem exciting. Like I think that's the special touch throughout this film.
But it also reminded me of these sort of crowd shots in Koyaan is Katsi, where you would get like, here's a kid drinking some water or something like that.
It's not even that far off from like Vertov.
Yeah.
I mean, just that scene. Just not that the whole movie.
I really like that one scene. Yeah. I like the movie in general, but I thought that was a good way of showing us, like... Actually, this really early on, so we don't really know much about the kid, but, like...
Well, it shows...
He actually is smart. He's interested in things around him. He just can't really...
Well, exactly. He is still... Like, he is clearly interested in learning. Yeah. He is clearly, like, excited.
But he's doing it experientially, and he can't do it by reading a book.
Exactly. All right, so we both like this movie, both recommend
it's great.
It.
Hopefully someone watched it and then learned their kid was dyslexic.
Who knows?
Like, it seems actually like a useful piece of art in that sense.
I think so, yeah. All right, we're going to take a break and then come back and discuss Hindi Medium.
And that'll be the song that I mentioned earlier, Jam Hai Raho, which is all about getting up and going to work. चलेंगे हम हर मुश्किल से टकराएंगे टस से मस ना होंगे हम दुनिया का नारा जमे रहो मंजिल का इशारा जमे रहो
This episode of Bollywood is for Lovers is brought to you by Alberta Blue Cross. Even if you're a busy business owner with more meetings than hours in a day, you are calm and collected when your group benefit plan is taken care of by Alberta Blue Cross. Your employees can manage their own health, dental, life, and disability coverage online, anytime, on any device, making it easier for them and for you. To learn more and explore your options, head to ab.bluecross.ca. This episode is also brought to you by the Edmonton Community Foundation. The foundation acts as a bridge between donors and charities to create a strong, vibrant community for generations to come here in Edmonton. You can start an endowment fund for yourself or with a group, and once it reaches $10,000, it can start distributing funds. There's also Vital Signs, which is an annual checkup conducted by Edmonton Community Foundation in partnership with Edmonton Social Planning Council to measure how well the community is doing. This year's focus is on making ends meet in Edmonton. To learn more about the Edmonton Community Foundation, check out ecfoundation.org.
So that was Jamhe Raho from Tare Zameen Par. Next up, we've got Hindi Medium from 2017, directed by Saket Chaudhry, and featuring Irfan Khan, Sabah Kumar, Dishita Sehgal, Amrita Singh, Deepak Dobriak, Tila Tamashome, Neha Dupia, and Sanjay Suri. It's a pretty great cast.
Mm-hmm.
This was a sleeper hit at the box office, got good reviews, and had a sequel come out, which I'd seen the sequel first.
Yeah, because why didn't you see Hindi Medium in theaters when it came out, Matt?
I don't know why.
So we were in Toronto, and
We could blame this on Shah Shaheen.
No, you could blame it on me.
Oh.
And Hindi Medium had just come out, but Rabta had also just come out.
Yeah,
we wanted to go see a movie.
Rabta, that's the ticket.
We wanted to go see a movie with friend of the show, Shah Shaheen. We had a great time, but I thought we should go see Rabta because I had already seen Hindi Medium. I knew it was quite good, but I thought Rabta was going to be great because all the trailers said, you know, from the makers
of... Visionary director of such and such.
Well, from the makers of Budlapur. It's not the same director, but yeah. It's like from the makers of Budlapur. And it
has producer.
Raj Kumar Rao and Kriti Sanon and Sushant Singh Rajput. And I was like, going to be great. Can't wait to see Rabta.
Terrible experience.
I was so wrong. And I really thought that like you and Shah were never going to forgive me for it. But I guess you forgot. So maybe Shah did as well.
I don't know. He seems like he's got a good memory.
But I think it's my fault we went to see Rabta instead of Hindi Medium. A movie that I'm sure Shah's seen Hindi Medium by now, but like, that...
It's a real crowd praise.
It's definitely a better movie.
Yeah. So this got good reviews, too.
Yeah.
Was nominated for 6 film fairs and won 2 for Best Film and Best Actor. Best Film, interesting. Mm-hmm. And Best Actor. I mean, yeah.
Yeah.
Irfan Khan's doing a great job in this movie. Like I said, Grazing Medium came out in 2020. You can listen to our episode on that, but that is a very different movie.
Yeah, our 2020 mid-year kind of wrap-up. And Grazing Medium was the last film that of Irfan Khan that was released before his death, unfortunately.
Yeah, but this one's about a 6-year-old.
Yeah.
And mostly about their parents, so...
It's also very much about class. Like, it's a completely... Yeah, and Grazing Medium is a weird sequel.
Grazing Medium is more like a screwball comedy about hopping between countries and all kinds of stuff.
Yeah, it doesn't seem to...
Hiring someone to stalk your own daughter.
It doesn't use any of the same themes that you find...
It just has Irfan Khan.
Team Medium. And this became Irfan Khan's highest grossing Hindi language film. So it surpassed The Lunchbox.
Wow.
Yeah.
Too bad it didn't surpass Jurassic World as his highest ever.
And it did very well in China.
Mm.
Yeah, big hit in China. So Irfan Khan and Saba Kumar are a couple.
She's really good. I wish we saw her more often.
Yes, she's a Pakistani actress.
Yeah.
So this was before all the Pakistani actors left Bollywood.
Were told to leave.
Yes, I would like some of them to come back because I like a number of them and I'd like to see them in Bollywood movies again.
Fawad Khan's Maula Jat movie's coming out right away, so like some of them are doing stuff over there, but I can only imagine the floods in Pakistan are kind of making it difficult to release movies right now.
Yeah. Anyway, so Irfan Khan and Saba Kumar, who was also nominated for Best Actress at the Film Fair Awards, so mm-hmm. You're not alone in liking her performance here. They play a married couple. They own a sari, like a clothing shop. A bridal shop in Chandni Chowk, which is also where they live. But
which is kind of like a neighborhood that used to be really poor, but is now kind of like middle class and striving, I guess.
Yeah.
Because you would see movies in the 90s or so, like, oh, they're from Chundichuk, that's a tough neighborhood.
Yeah.
Whereas now it's sort of like, they're pretty well off, actually.
They're very, like, nouveau riche.
Yeah.
They're...
I'm just thinking about nouveau poor now.
Their daughter, Dishita Segal, is starting school. And Saba Kumar is very kind of based, clearly based on her own experiences of kind of, you know, of her own experiences in school and kind of how she felt that she was looked down upon for maybe her English not being as good or kind of, you know,
still is
because, yeah, yeah, or because of, you know, the area of town that she grew up in. She really wants her daughter to, you know, speak perfect English and go to the best school so that she can really kind of excel and move up in society. So her daughter is kind of...
And not set... end up doing drugs.
Yeah, and not end up doing drugs.
Her continuous thing so her is daughter, like, what if she ends up doing drugs?
So her daughter is set for life and maybe doesn't have to deal with some of the challenges that she did.
And both so, her and Irfan went to government schools.
Yes. And so she really... But she... I mean, she clearly went to university because we meet one of her friends from university. So she kind of pushes Irfan Khan to... And the both of them really to kind of... try and get their daughter into the best school in Delhi. And there's kind of this ranking...
Delhi Grammar School.
...of the, like, 8 or 6 best schools in Delhi. And it's all kind of... it's all kind of ridiculous. I feel like you see this in, like, sitcoms set in New York, too. Like, people trying to get their, like, their children into the best preschool so that they can go to Harvard. It's that kind of mentality. So they hire Tilotama Shome, who is, like... A consultant who's going to help them with all the interviews so that they can get into the best school. And Tilotama Shome says, you know, like, some people start hiring me, like, join my waiting list when their child is still in the womb. So it's like, it's very competitive.
Mm-hmm.
And they decide to move closer to the schools because they're guaranteed... in order to get into these schools, you have to live within the radius. And so they kind of pack up all their life. They move to a fancier part of Delhi so they can be closer to the schools. And then they try and kind of rub elbows with the right people.
Mm-hmm.
And Saba Kumar is kind of embarrassed by Irfan Khan's more, you know, like...
earthy?
Yeah, like, he still has the Chundichuk in him, and so he likes dancing
with his kid
to Hindi songs.
He likes dancing with a nice kid with it, like, a nice song with his daughter. He doesn't like eating caviar.
And and everyone at this party is just, like, appalled that this man
loves his daughter.
Enjoy dancing with his daughter.
I also really like the essay that Tilotama Shome writes. I believe it says that they hired a guy who could speak English to it, but it says something like she was delightfully intoxicating, or what was it?
Something like
it that. It was weird, like that, something you would never say about a 6-year-old, but if you wanted to sound like you had fancy English, you might say.
Yeah. So they do all of this. They, you know, they have to hire a stylist. They take, you know, they try.
They wear
and,
way too many brands.
Yeah. They wear way too many brands, and then they have to hire the stylist because they're just, like, giving off way too much of a nouveau riche vibe. They do all these interviews, and unfortunately, she doesn't get in. And that's where they find out that there is, like, a certain number of spots at these schools.
I think it's 20%.
Yeah. That are set aside for, it's like, what is it, RTE, like, right to education?
I think so,
yeah. Set aside for lower income kids so that they can hopefully, you know, go to a good school and advance.
Mm-hmm.
And so Irfan Khan then bribes someone so that...
The chai seller outside of the education building.
So that his daughter's name will be picked and will be one of these kids, even though they're obviously very well off. Well... A news story breaks in the news, and this scandal is kind of discovered. And Amrita Singh, who is the headmistress of the school that eventually they settle on that they want to get her
into. Delhi Grammar School, the best in town.
Exactly. She says that she's going to personally, like, monitor the selection this year, and they are going to make sure that no one is cheating the system.
Mm-hmm.
So what does Irfan Khan do? He decides... that the family will then move out to the poorest part of town so that they can adequately pretend to be completely poor.
Yeah.
So that their daughter will get into the school, and also that they won't be caught for having bribed someone to get his daughter into the school. Mm-hmm. So then they have to pretend to be nouveau poor.
Yeah. Because they're the first time that the Hindi teacher from the school, who's kind of sent by Amrita Singh to check on all these applicants, he figures out right away that they were not always poor by looking at Irfan Khan's hand, which is a very, like, Sherlock Holmes thing to do.
And
like,
he's very
this
skeptical.
Is not the hand of a laborer. But Deepak Dobrial, who's a friend that they make, it is just, like, probably the funniest character in the whole movie, because it's this guy who... ride or die for Irfan immediately, believes him on everything, and is also so desperately poor that, like, every time he says anything and he shares his food and he shares his water, you're just heartbroken because it's like, Irfan could just go home and have whatever he wants.
So it sets up this juxtaposition where...
But he believes that he's poor.
Yeah.
He says that...
Oh, he's newly poor. Yeah, he doesn't want to...
They lost all their money,
yeah.
and that's why they're here. They weren't always poor.
And the film sets up this juxtaposition where the first half, when you see them trying to kind of rub elbows, and they tell all the rich people that they're going... when they decide
to France.
They're going off to France, and they fake a bunch of, like, photos to put on Facebook.
If I remember right, Irfan says that they're going to go to France after they go to Paris. It's like, we're going to go to Paris, and then we'll go to France.
They're going to go to Nobu.
Yeah, they're going to go to Nobu.
But, like, all of the people in the kind of the upper class part of town, like, look down upon them. They don't want their kids playing with Irfan Khan's kid because, like, her English isn't good enough. And just, like, you know, snooty.
Mm-hmm.
Snooty and judgmental. But then, you know, when they're in the poorer part of town and, you know, they're living off of rations and...
fighting with people at the water.
They're laborers, like, you know, they have Irfan Khan has to go work in a factory.
His job is so good. It's like a cookie factory.
Yeah. That's where, like, the community instead there really supports them, and they come together, and the lengths that Deepak Dobrial is willing to go to help his friend. Like, Deepak Dobrial is also trying to get his kid into the school, and he just, like, the lengths that he's willing to go to help his friends in the hopes that, like, both their kids will get in, is astounding.
It's so heartbreaking because you're just like, actually, Irfan Khan's kind of a dickhead.
Yeah, it's so funny because, like, I really didn't like Deepak Dobrial's performance in our last episode in Good Luck Jerry, but he's so good here.
He should just be completely poverty-stricken men who don't understand what's going on.
Ultimately, the message of this film is that, like, all children deserve to go to a good school and deserve a good education.
Or, yeah, like, just make the government schools better.
Yeah, exactly. So, I really love this movie. I think it's incredibly funny. There's just, like, there's...
It's also, like, you don't need to know Hindi either.
No.
Like, it's... I think probably that's why it did well in China. Because I'm sure there's, like, a big push to get people to learn English there.
Yeah.
Or... maybe, like, Mandarin as well as Cantonese. Like, I'm sure, like, language...
Well, it's also a competitive society.
Super competitive society with, like, emphasis placed on education. And I'm just sure that...
An emphasis placed on, like, your kids, like, carrying on your legacy.
Yeah.
And
getting, like, a good degree and maybe even coming to somewhere like Alberta to study. Like, that is of paramount importance. You must do this.
Mm-hmm.
So it's, like, a really understandable premise for anyone, really.
Yeah. Yeah, and there's just, like, I don't know, there's so many hilarious set pieces in kind of, again, in both seeing them trying to rub elbows with, like, the rich folks, but then also them pretending to be poor. But the film really, like, it never, like, because it also ends up being not just about education, but about class, like, it's just, the themes are there. So, like, you're constantly laughing at Irfan Khan and Saba Kamar, and you're kind of disgusted with them as well.
Yeah. They're literally stealing this other kid's future out from under him.
Yes.
Like, even though it's not a one-to-one, they're, like, Deepak Dobrial's child has a right to be in this lottery.
Yeah.
Because of his station in life, and Irfan Khan's child... definitively does not.
No.
Has many other advantages. Does not need the government's help for this.
I would say maybe, like, the one kind of thing that the film, I don't know, kind of...
stumbles on?
Yeah. I would say that the one thing that the film stumbles on is, like, the daughter has no personality.
Yeah, but also, do you want like a super precocious kid? Because she would, like, she just kind of has to be there.
And maybe,
the movie's about the adults.
And maybe that's why it works. Like, but she has no personality. I do really like when she tells that one boy, like, but we're going to get married.
Yeah.
But he doesn't like her English. But in general, like, she's just kind of there.
Well, I think that also the final resolution is a little long-winded.
It is,
and it's also based on a bunch of parents not recognizing what their children look like.
It is, but I also really like... So, Irfan Khan and Saba Kumar, because of their relationship with Deepak Dobrial, do realize that they're monsters.
Mm-hmm.
And so take their wealth and invest it in the government school that Deepak Dobrial's son is going to. But they don't want anyone to know... that they are the benefactors. And
like, you can pay for a toilet. Every time they go to the bathroom, they'll see your name.
Hilariously, like, the headmaster or the teacher at the government school is, like, telling them all the things that they can sponsor. And, yeah, and then we'll put your name here. We'll put your name here. We'll put your name.
Right next to the toilet.
And they want to sponsor all the students.
They also don't want their names being shown specifically to Deepak Dobrial.
And they don't want their name on it. And they come back to kind of see, like, how successful it is, and, like, they are helping improve the education offered at this government school. And so Irfan Khan and Saba Kumar, Irfan Khan especially has a big change of heart where he realizes, like,
I think that she would be fine with the, like, she's actually the real monster, his wife.
Yeah.
She would be fine with whatever they ended up with if they stayed with their lies.
But he realizes, you know, just kind of how what they've done is absolutely horrible, but also how this system, this entire system is unfair, that these kids deserve just as much of an education as the kids going to his daughter's school. And so, like, at the, like, opening ceremony thing, all the kids, like, give a performance, and he hijacks it.
How would they know how to do this performance?
Yeah. He hijacks it and brings the kids from the other school, and then kind of gets up and makes a statement about the right to education. And the thing that I love is that, like, in many other movies, like, everyone would get up and clap and have tears in their eyes. Here, only his wife does, and there's a couple other people in the crowd who think about it, and then, like, the person beside them stops them.
Yeah.
And so I love...
That's rich people. That is exactly... They're not going to be persuaded again, like, by this populist rhetoric.
And this film just, like, it commits to the joke all the time. Like, it just, like, it knows that, like... Yeah, the conventional ending would be, like, then everyone, like, cheers and stuff, but no.
Let's all donate our money.
It is more realistic.
And cynical.
And cynical and funnier.
Yeah.
If, like, everyone is just kind of awkward, and then it's like, okay, we can get on with what we were supposed to be doing.
Also, Irfan and his wife do remember at one point, like, well, we turned out okay. We're actually really well off. And we went to government school. Wait a second.
There's also, okay, there's a throwaway line.
We're spoiling a lot of the movie, but, like, it shouldn't really be a big surprise to you. Like, if you know how movies work, like, it's not going to be a huge twist ending, but it's the execution that makes it so good. Yeah.
There's also a throwaway line where Tilotama Shome, I think, makes a reference to, like, the pageants that kids in, like, grammar school will do, and, like, they'll dress up like animals and parade around for you. And we saw that in Panga, and I really want to know if, like, in, like, Indian, like, elementary school, if the kids often dress up as animals and perform.
Also, like,
because it was such an interesting throwaway line.
There was also a fun bit where the Hindi teacher is talking to Irfan and Deepak Dobrial and says, like, well, yes, your access to the school is free. We do need 24,000 rupees for things like...
That's what it was.
Going to a park. Or...
That's what it was. They're like, yeah, we need... It wasn't Tilotama Shome. It was that guy.
And Dobrial's like, they can go to the park for free. You don't need 24 grand for extracurriculars.
I also love the juxtaposition where, like, when they're touring the schools, they go into one where, like, one of the kids, they're told, like, speaks a bunch of languages, and is, like, a famous sitar player.
French, or whatever. Chinese.
And then when they go visit the government school, there's a kid there that speaks Hindi and English and French and Mandarin. And then the kind of the punchline is because he follows around all, like, the tourists and the tour guides.
Yeah. There's so many good bits in this.
It's so good.
Irfan.
But yeah, I think it was the guy who was like, yeah,
we need 24,000
extra money for extracurriculars. Like, you can watch your kids dress up as
animals. They could dress up as animals. They'll also go to the park. We need you know, many multiples of your yearly salary to do so.
And we looked it up, and it's really only like
$800.
Yeah,
$850. Mm-hmm. There's also, yeah, the scenes
which
of
is actually still a lot.
Yeah, I mean, if that's per year, that is a lot for like a kindergartner.
Yeah, I mean, but I think that would also be a lot for families here too.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah,
but it's like an insane amount in India, whereas here it would be a pain, but achievable for most. But Irfan working at the cookie factory is fantastic, and that's where I thought, like, oh, this is a Raj Kapoor movie.
Mm.
Like, this is a premise that would have been equally funny if done by, you know, a comedian like him in the 50s.
Yeah.
Like, it's such a sort of, like, elemental premise of you just want your kid to get into a good school.
Well, it's
I'm sure some of the particulars would have changed, but the idea of, like, Shakespeareanly pretending to be a poor person so that you can
sneak in. Well,
that's
what I was going to say. Like, that is also an elemental premise. Like, that's My Man Godfrey as well.
Yeah.
Like, one of our favorite movies.
But it's just a premise that would always be funny regardless of when the movie came out.
Yes.
Like, you could make this...
it's fun to laugh at rich people.
Yeah, rich people are scum, and we should laugh at them all the time.
Yeah.
And Irfan, I also think, kind of looks like Raj Kapoor.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a real shame that he couldn't do, like, a biopic or something. Because, like, when Irfan is funny, he's funny on, like... four different levels at once, because like he's doing some physical bit of business and getting exasperated and yelling at somebody, but you're also like looking at his eyes like, oh yeah, the actor inside is just having a ball, and you can tell he loves this sort of thing.
It's a very, very good performance.
I was thinking also of
Irfan Khan is always good, but this is such a showcase for his talents.
I was also thinking of Piku throughout, where he's surrounded by Deepika Padukone's crazy family, and he's just sort of bemused the whole time, and he could just do so much with those beautiful eyes.
Yeah.
And like, you could just see an intelligence behind there, and just, they're laughing.
Yeah.
It's great.
Yeah, these are both...
this movie slaps.
These are
both... they both slap in different ways.
Yeah, I would say, like, Terry Zamin Parr is a lot more emotional.
I got choked up during that movie.
Yeah.
It's a real heartstring puller.
Hindi medium isn't without its emotional
mostly
moments.
Deepak Dobrial.
Yeah, heartbreaking.
Yeah.
He's so good. But it's just like, it's also like, it's really, really funny. Like, it's so funny. Yeah, I recommend both these movies. They're both available streaming pretty easily, so...
more fun than going to school, I'll say that much.
Yeah. Hindi Medium was on Amazon Prime, and Terry Zamin Parr was on Netflix, so... and, I mean, they're both very popular movies, so if you haven't...
sometimes everyone's right, and something that's very popular is also very good.
Yeah, so if you haven't seen them, you know, check them out. So that's the end of this episode, Matt. We will be back in a couple weeks, and what will we be doing? What will we be discussing?
Okay, so, my favorite ongoing series.
Yes.
Amitabh Bachchan.
Yes. We're picking up the Bachchan series again.
Yes. Depending on if these are still available from when I looked it up, which was a month ago.
Mm-hmm.
But based on, you know, streaming and things getting taken off YouTube and stuff, I think we can do 85, 86, and 88.
Wonderful.
So we could fill in some gaps in our filmography and try and get caught up to... where we left off last time, which was in the early 90s.
Mm-hmm.
And we could fill in the last little bit of the 80s. But I've got 85, 86, 88, 89, 92, 94, 97 sourced.
Okay.
So we should be able to do at least like three episodes here.
Okay. Sounds good.
And yeah, if you like Bachchan emoting, I think this will be our bag.
So that will be out in 2 weeks. In the meantime, Matt, how can people keep up with the show?
At Bollywood Pod, at Matt_BOWES, at Aaron E. Fraser. Bollywood is for lovers. Tumblr.com/Bollywood is for lovers. Facebook.com/Bollywood is for lovers. Please rate and review us on your favorite platform.
Give you some biffle points.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I guess the biffle points just aren't the draw that they were before, huh?
You can follow my other show that I do with Paul Matwichuk called Trash Around the Movies. We're also working on a back-to-school episode, so, you know, back-to-school's in the air, as I said.
Mm-hmm.
We want to thank Becca Dahlke for her artwork, and yeah, that's everything.
Yeah. Stay in school. Mm-hmm.